You can open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 17. In our study through the book of Joshua, if you've been tracking with us, you know that the promised land that was inherited by the children of Israel, that place that they eventually, after 40 years, went into, that place that is representative of, that pictures for us, the Spirit-filled life. Leaving behind the wilderness, that place of dryness, that place where there was a lot of kicking sand and swatting flies, a lot of murmuring and complaining, a lot of nothing really happening. And perhaps you know what that's like. Being saved is one thing, living your life to the fullest is another. The promised land was to be a place of fullness, a place where the Spirit would empower and there would be new things to face, new challenges to deal with. However, there would also be an abundance of power to overcome all those things. And we've reached that point, as we did on Wednesday night, and we continue to see throughout the chapter we're in today, that the promised land was being divided by Joshua, given to the various tribes of Israel. Each tribe would get a portion. They would get a section of that promised land. And it was the promise that they were waiting for. It was the inheritance they had longed for. And what it represents to you and me as believers in this new dispensation we're in, or this new covenant that we're a part of, it pictures for you and me the inheritance you have, the portion that God's given to you and me, to your tribe perhaps, to your family, to this church, to you individually, personally. Every one of you, every one of us has a portion, a part of the inheritance, if you would. And we'll see here that Joshua has reached a point in the division of the land where he's going to give the portion to Joseph's children, or Ephraim and Manasseh, that is, half the tribe of Manasseh, if you recall, the other half stayed on the other side of Jordan, didn't really get the inheritance because they wanted to be borderline believers. And there's those that will do that, aren't there? They'll just kind of hang on the border. They can see into the promised land, but they never really enter in. It's kind of knowing about all the truths, knowing doctrine, knowing theology, knowing all the things, knowing how to speak Christianese, if you would, knowing when to say praise the Lord and God bless you, but never really entering into that place. Well, half the tribe of Manasseh did that, but the other half went in. And this is the other half, along with Ephraim, who were the sons of Joseph, who were part of that tribe that was going to get their inheritance now. And so this is where we pick up the story. And as we read in Joshua 17, beginning with verse 14, we see something that's rather interesting about the inheritance that these people got and what they felt about the inheritance or the portion or the lot that they've been given. And there's some things to learn here, and you're going to have to put your helmets on today because this is really, really amazing to me. And in verse 14, we begin reading, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying," now keep in mind, they've just gotten their portion. They've just been given their inheritance. And they say to Joshua, they say to him, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto?" And Joshua answered them, "If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." And the children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel." And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots and be strong. The inheritance is given. The portion has been handed over. They found out what they get. And the first thing they said is, it's not right. It's not enough. It's not big enough for us. We need more than this. We need more portion. And it's amazing, isn't it? Because the first thing, before they've even really had a chance to look around and see what they've been given, the first thing they say is, it's not right. There's been a mistake. This lot I have is a mistake. I told you. Helmet time. Here we go. Now, this is fascinating to me because they are, you know, among the rest of the children of Israel getting their portions. Everybody's getting the right portion. Joshua doesn't make mistakes, does he? In this light, in this story, in this particular book, Joshua is a picture of who? Jesus Christ, handing out the gifts, the portions, the lot for each one. And of course, these guys, these tribes say, wait a minute, there's something wrong with my portion. I've heard people say this. Maybe you've said it. Maybe you still say it. I got the wrong portion. I got the wrong lot in life. Somebody else has got mine, and I've got somebody else's. It's a mistake. This life's a mistake, being married to him. Oops, it's a mistake. Living in this house, living in this wrong place, wrong life. I need somebody else's life. Someone's got mine. There's been a swap. There's been a goof. I need something else. I need something more. I need something different. Does this sound at all familiar to you? Ephraim and Manasseh begin to complain about what they have just been given. And they say it's not right. But as we'll see here, the Lord's going to shed some light, some truth on the matter. And we're going to find out that their complaint about what they don't have or what they have that they don't think is right, it's a smokescreen. The complaint's a smokescreen for what? What would be covered up by the complaint? What would it be that they would be trying to disguise? It's very interesting. They say, it's not enough for us. Why? There's trees on the mountains. The enemy's in the valley with chariots of iron. Smokescreen is this, folks. This portion you've given me, Lord, has trees on it. The portion you've given me, the enemy is entrenched in the valley of it. In other words, you gave me a portion that's got challenges in it. There's been a mistake. I thought this was the promised land. I thought we were going into the promised land. And really, what people are saying, like they were, is I thought you were going to give me a life with no challenges. No issues, no problems. I thought it was all over when we entered the promised land. And the reality, of course, as we know, is it was just beginning. Oh, there's power, the power of the Spirit, being able to be poured out upon us so we can live out this thing called the Christian life through the power of God's Spirit, through His Son. But along with the power comes challenge, issues. By the way, what do you think the power's for? When people say, Lord, empower me by your Spirit, what are you asking for power for? If somebody says, well, I don't want any challenges, but Lord, give me power. What do you need power for? If there's no challenge, if there's no problem, if there's no issue, then what in the world would you need the power of God for? You see, your life isn't a mistake. Where you're at is not a goof. God didn't give you the wrong portion. The lot in life you have isn't the wrong lot. And we say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm taking my helmet off and I'm getting out of here. Because I can see where this is going. You know, I have a pretty good time complaining about what I don't have. I spend a great deal of my life, in fact, making that known to my husband, my wife, my kids, my boss, anybody that'll listen. My life's a wreck and it's a mistake. And you can't make me see it otherwise. And that's what some people think, and that's what they're determined to believe. But here's the thing. The smoke screen, the complaint, is that the trees are on the hill, the enemy's entrenched in the valley, and I don't want to deal with it. Give me another life, one that's different than this one, one that doesn't have the challenges this one has, because these aren't my challenges. This isn't what I'm supposed to do. This isn't what I signed up for. The land was full of trees, and the enemy was entrenched deep within that portion. How many of us are like this? How many of us say these things? How many of us aren't satisfied with the lot we have in life? There's not enough room in my life. There's not enough stuff going on that I think there should be. This problem's causing me problems and grief. I don't want that. I want this thing over here. I want that life. I want to look like him. I want to look like her. How come he's 50 and he's got a head of hair and I got baldness at 25? How come she's got that figure and I don't? How come he can eat anything he wants and he weighs 150 pounds and I just smell food and I gain 14 or 15 pounds? I mean, you name it. It goes on and on, this thing. I didn't get the right body, you know. But here's the thing. You got the right body. It's yours. It's just right for you. You know, well, I didn't get the right color hair. You got the right color. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you made sure you got the right color hair. I don't know. But the things that you have in this life, the portion you've been given, it's yours. It's right for you. It's exactly what you're supposed to have. Oh, brother, don't tell me that. Don't tell me he's the one I'm supposed to be with. Don't tell me that's the job I'm supposed to have. Don't tell me this is the place I'm supposed to live. It is. It's exactly where you need to be. Maybe God would shine some light on our hearts today. Because here's the issue. Maybe the problem is this. Perhaps you haven't possessed the portion that God's given you. Perhaps you haven't really lived to the capacity that the portion you have is, and therefore you don't even know what you've got. I find this is true for the most part for us, and that's why this teaching is so incredibly pertinent for us. Maybe like these people, you look around your portion, your life, and you say, hey, this isn't right. This is a mistake. Why? Well, because there's trees. What are the trees here? What does that mean? The growth that's on your portion, that's keeping you from seeing what you really have. The trees, we used to say, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees. It's kind of what's being said here. You can't see what you've got because there's trees. What trees? Old growth. You see, they moved into the promised land, but they brought their baggage with them. and there's trees on your portion. Absolutely, challenges. But again, there's also power to deal with those challenges. That's what it's for. You got a challenge, you got power. You don't have any challenge, you don't need any power. So there's challenges indeed. The trees represent that. And you look at those things and you say, I don't have enough. No, that's not it. You can't see what you have because of the trees, because of the old stuff that is still there. Or, perhaps, not only that, not only is there old baggage, but the enemy's deeply entrenched in the portion you have. And if that's so, you won't be able to see what you have either, nor will you like what you think you have. And this is the issue, guys. This is the real issue. If I had that job, that would be it. No. If I lived in that house, that would do it. No, it wouldn't. And besides that, it's not yours. It's not your portion. Not your lot. See, I knew it. That's supposed to be my lot. I know it. And I'm claiming it. I'm going to blab it and grab it. I'm going to, by faith, I'm going to claim in that house for myself. Claim it all you want. It's not yours. Not your lot. And people say, well, listen, I heard the guy on TV. He told me, if I just believe enough, because God wants me to be wealthy. He wants me to be rich. Really? Where do you get that? Have you ever heard anyone that makes that claim give you scripture reference that backs it up? Because God wants you to have exactly the portion He has given to you. Whatever that is, it's enough for you. It's, in fact, more than enough for you. The problem isn't the portion you have. The problem is you can't see the portion you have. You don't even know what you've got. We don't even know what we have. Because of old baggage, trees, and the enemy's deeply entrenched in our life. And here's the deal. Watch what happens. People say this to me all the time. You know, I got to quit my job. Why? Because they're not paying me enough. I'm worth much more than that. I mean, they don't know what they've got. That's what they're saying here, by the way. We're great people. What are you giving me that for? That's certainly not enough for us. I mean, look at us. We're awesome. And you're giving us this? That's the idea here. And that's what you and me say when we say to the Lord, Lord, you've given me the wrong portion. You didn't give me enough. Look at me. Look at what I should have a lot more than this. Do you know what you should have? Do you know what you deserve? You deserve hell. You deserve God's wrath. By His mercy and grace, He has given you life and salvation. And then He gives you a portion to enjoy, and most of us say, well, it's the wrong one. It's the wrong lot. It's the wrong stuff. It's the wrong place. It's the wrong house. It's the wrong job. Everything's wrong, 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 wrong. Well, some people say, I know I deserve hell, and I think that's what I got. I think I got hell on earth. I think I think that's the issue for me. God gave me that. No. The reality is, you may have to face this. I have to face it, and I think we all do. And it's not a problem of not having enough or having too small of a portion, but you're not living out to the full capacity what your portion is. you're not living out what you've been given. You've just determined that because of the challenges, the baggage, the enemy, that it's just not worth fighting for. So give me a new one. Give me a different one. Give me a different life. Give me a different wife. Give me a different husband. Give me a different job. Give me a different place to live. Give me a different state to live in. Just give me the whole new package, will you? Because this one stinks. The problem isn't the package. It's not the portion. Here's the problem. Right here in my heart. There's where the problem lies. That's where the issue really is. And guys, I'll tell you something. You've got baggage, and Satan might be dug in someplace in your life, but this is the way it is for all of us. Did you know that every single portion given to the children of Israel, every bit of the inheritance, had giants, enemies, had trees, had stuff to deal with? Everyone. Remember Caleb? We talked about him on Wednesday night. Caleb asked for the land of the giants. He asked for the mountain. What was on the mountain? Trees. Giants. He asked for the challenge. He didn't say, oh, I get to choose my lot? Awesome. I'll take the pasture land and give me a big rocking chair. And I'll just sit back and rock my way into heaven. No challenges. Don't give me any problems. I want that. He didn't do that. Caleb was the only one that got to choose what his lot was. And you know what he chose? The biggest challenge that there was in the land of promise. And people say, boy, Caleb's crazy. You know, he was a little off his rocker anyway. He thought he was as strong as he was at 40 when he was 85. He was. And he wasn't afraid of giants or challenges because he understood that the whole land was full of challenges. And he knew the bigger the challenge, the bigger the power God's going to give me. So go ahead, give me the giants, give me the challenge. That's okay. Give me that portion. I'll take it. Nobody else was going to claim it. Do you think anybody else was going to say, give me the Anakims? No. Do you think Ephraim and Manasseh would have said, yeah, we want that giant country? No. They had a few trees and they were complaining. They got to chop down some trees. Oh, brother, give us a new piece of property, will you? There are so many people who have so much, who enjoy so little. I'm one of them. Confess with all my heart that I've done this again and again. But you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing me say, oh, Lord, I didn't get enough, or this isn't right, you see. I realized long ago the problem that I have in life is not other people, although I have a good time blaming them for everything. You know, you can blame your husband or your wife or your kids or the guy at work or the boss you don't like. You can blame everything and everybody, and we have a blast doing that, but it's not true. What are you saying? I'm saying the biggest problem you got is you. And the biggest problem I got is me. I'm the biggest issue in my life. I'm the biggest hindrance. I'm the biggest goof that I've got. And God says, you got a portion that's awesome. Problem is you. So, okay, you say, we're hanging with you so far. So what are we going to do about it? What do we do? How do we accomplish what you're saying? If we're supposed to enjoy our lot, our portion, how does that work? Well, let's look at what Joshua says here. Watch how Joshua deals with their complaint. He says in verse 15, Joshua, after they said, hey, we don't have enough. You didn't give us a big enough portion. You didn't give us what we should have. Joshua answers them in verse 15. He says, if thou be a great people, and I think there's some sarcasm in his voice here. If thou be a great people, he says, if you're so great, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down the trees. Now, before he even gets done telling him to cut down the trees, you know, he says, if Ephraim's too narrow for you, get up there and cut those trees down at the mountain. Before he can even finish, in verse 16, the children of Joseph said to him, well, the hill's not enough. Joshua says, hey, if you want to see how much land's really up on the mountain, there's a lot. You need to cut down the tree. Get up there and cut the trees down, if you're so great. Get up there and cut the trees down. And before he gets done, they say, well, that's not enough, even if we cut the trees down. That won't be enough. You ever hear yourself saying that? When the Lord says, here's the issue. Here's something you can really enjoy, but here's the problem. You got trees there. So cut them down. Yeah, but if that gets done, I'll have this problem here. Right? If I cut the trees down, there's still the valley. But chariots of iron, so forget it. In other words, I'm not going to be happy. That's it. I won't be. If I cut, that won't work. That's not going to work. That won't happen. In other words, what they were saying was, we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with anything. God says, cut down the tree. And we say, that won't work. Joseph's children, Ephraim and Manasseh, say, even if that happens, we still have the valley. Neener, neener, neener. We still have the valley, and it won't be right even if the trees get cut down. So there. Now watch what happens. I know you've never said that. I know you've never done that with the Lord. So they said, even if that's true, the Canaanites are dwelling in the valley, and they have iron chariots and all that. Now watch what Joshua says to them in verse 17. He says unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, he says, thou art a great people. Now it's not if you are. He's changed what he says. First he says, if you're so great, get up and cut the trees down. He's prodding them. He's drawing out from them something he hopes they'll exercise. What? Faith. If you're great, you said you're a great people and you didn't get enough. If that's true, then get on up there and cut the trees down. And they said, well, that won't work because we still have the giants in the valley and the chariots of iron and all that. Well, then Joshua says, well, you are a great people. These are empowering words, by the way. Joshua is speaking power into the people's life. He says, you are a great people. And he says, and you have great power. So he says, thou shalt not have one lot only. If you think one lot's not big enough, fine. You are a great people. You do have great power. And if you want more than one lot, you shall have it. But you need to go drive the enemy out. You need to go take the mountain, cut the wood down, but then you need to go drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots and even though they're strong. You've got great power. You're a great people. You have this ability. Go do it. He's empowering them to take on the enemy. And guys, this is something that blows me away. Just cut down the trees. That won't work. You're a great people. Remember, you've got great power. You need to go drive the enemy out. Just drive them out. And if you see this, guys, if you understand this, this will blow your mind. This will change your life radically. Or not. You can receive this, you can accept it, or you can reject it. I find most people reject it. Nope, I'm not going to believe that. I won't. You cannot make me enjoy my portion. No matter what you say, I'm not enjoying this portion of my life. So there. Okay. And you can go on the way you've been going. You can go on the way things have been. Now, if you're saying, hey, I enjoy my portion, excellent, glad to hear it. But if you're not, there's something wrong with your portion in your sight. If there's something wrong with what's going on in your life, then maybe you might want to listen in. Because we can claim to have little portions or not enough of this or that. And God would say, I think, the same thing that he's saying here. And that is, okay, you think your portion's not big enough. Let me ask you this then. What are you doing with the portion you've got? In other words, you've been given a portion, correct? Yep, wouldn't argue with that. Nope. So what are you doing with the portion God has given you? What are you doing with it? Nothing, because it's not a good one. Not a good portion. I'm not doing anything with it because it's not good. It's got trees on it, and it's got enemies on it, and the chariots of iron and all that. I'm not doing anything. Oh, really? But you want more? You want something more? Well, yeah, I'm asking for, I want something else. I want something. Oh, interesting. Because the Lord would say, hey, wait a minute. I'm telling you, the portion you have, how you can really enjoy it is to cut down the trees, you see, and move the enemy out, you see. Have you asked the Lord to empower you to do that? Or are you just looking at the trees and saying, this is hopeless. This is not what I asked for. This is not what I wanted in life. I didn't want this challenge. I didn't want him. I didn't want her, really. I didn't want this life I got. So therefore, I won't engage in this challenge. I will just plop down and wait it out. And I'll have a pity party to beat the band. And I'll spend the rest of my life complaining about what God didn't give me, rather than enjoying what he did. This is something I find troubling to me, because I do the same thing. I need to say this, and hear my heart here, but I believe this is a word from the Lord. Don't ask him for anything more until you've lived out to the capacity what he's given. Quit asking. People say, well, hey, I'm not doing anything. In fact, what the Lord's given me, I don't do anything with it. Well, listen, if you do nothing with what God's given you, then he's not going to give you more to do nothing with. Do you understand that? He's not going to give you some more to do nothing with if you're not going to do anything with what he's given you. If you're not going to enjoy and take the portion that he's given you and say, you know what, Lord, I don't know what you have in mind, but you gave me this portion. You gave me these challenges. You gave me this tough marriage. You gave me this tough life. You gave me that tough job. You gave me those issues that I have to wrestle through. And you know what? By the power of your Spirit, by faith, I am going to take my axe out and I'm going to chop down the tree so I can see what I got. That's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do some clearing. For some of you guys, get your chainsaw out. You know, sounds a little more, yeah, you know, got the chainsaw. Let me cut down some trees. Good, because if you start cutting down trees, which is what? Baggage, stuff that's in your life that's keeping you, listen, from enjoying what you have in your life presently. Not what you should have had or what you thought you should have, but what you have now. If there are things, trees that are keeping you from enjoying what you have, then cut them down. Cut it out. Get rid of it. And if you're not enjoying your portion, then I'll guarantee you there's trees that have grown on your portion that need to be cut down. Or perhaps the enemy is entrenched somewhere in your portion. Some homes have the enemy entrenched in corners and places that are kind of secretive. Hey, I'll guarantee you, your portion in your life, in your home, in your marriage, will not be what you think it ought to be. if that's true. But the Lord says, you've got the power to drive the enemy out of your home. Don't think that you don't. Don't say, well, I just don't know if I can do that. Yes, you can. Joshua said, you're great people. You've got great power. Why? Because you've got the Spirit of God. And the power, guys, is for victory. The power is to cut trees down. The power is to drive enemies out. The power is for you to live a life on the portion of land God's given to you to the fullest capacity. And here's the thing. If you would even live to the fraction of capacity that God has given you the portion of, you would find yourself never being able to enjoy all your property, all your portion, all the lot God's given you in life. You'd find yourself endlessly going, man, I just can't seem to enjoy enough stuff. Instead of going, it just stinks. You know, I didn't get the right life. Got the wrong thing. Drive them out. In light of what Jesus has done on the cross, don't you know that there's absolute power available to you? Do you think that Paul said there in Ephesians 1 that you've been given all the spiritual blessings, all the power of God is available to anyone who is saved, who believes and would exercise that faith to overcome? Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, all the stuff that's in the world, all the stuff that's on your portion, all the trees that are growing, all the enemies that are camping out and digging in. I've got power over all of them. And the point is, do you believe that or not? What an amazing life it would be if we just exercised some faith once in a while. But we're pretty determined to walk by sight, and what we see is trees. And what we see is the enemy. He's dug in. Oh boy, he's really dug in. He's entrenched in the valley. He's got iron chariots. How am I going to get him out? Joshua said, drive him out of there. Run him off. Moi? You want me? Yeah, you're a great people. You've got great power. Just drive them off. You've got the power of the Spirit. Just drive them off. I've heard these kinds of teachings before. Doesn't work. What did you think? You were going to do it once? People say, well, I did that once. Yeah, do it again. You know, it's not like, okay, go away, devil. Okay, that's good. Now, you do it again and again. You make a life of taking the Spirit of God upon you and say, Lord, I got another tree to cut down. I've got this enemy. He's trying to camp out. Empower me, Lord, to drive him out, that I might see and know what an awesome, amazing life you've given to me. Wait a minute. You saying that my wife is prettier than I think she is? You think that we have a sweeter marriage than I'm aware of just because I don't see it? Yeah. You can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see what you've got because of baggage and the enemy's having his way. Your life is much, much more sweet, much fuller, much more exciting, much more thrilling than you ever have imagined. You just don't see it because you're too busy thinking about what it's not rather than what it is. And what God's given to you rather than what he hasn't. And I'll tell you something, guys. This is so radical to me. But it breaks my heart when I hear myself speak this way like they are. Because what it's saying is, God, you didn't do enough for me. You gave me something that was inferior. You didn't do enough. You didn't give me enough. And Joshua is telling these people, no, that's not the issue. In fact, you can cut down as many trees as you want to. And you can drive the enemy off anytime you'd like. So here's the issue. The portion you've been given, the lot in life you have, God says you can be as happy as you want to be. And if you're not, guess what? I don't want to be. Well, that's not true. I want to be happy. And cut some trees down. Well, that's not what I had in mind. I'm not talking about that. Even if I did cut the trees down, I still got the valley. Okay, you can play that game. But Joshua, Jesus, is going to say the same thing. Okay, you got the valley? Drive the enemy out of the valley. Well, what else can I come up with? Do you follow this? You're bound and determined to not be happy. Most of us are. We're stuck. And God says, look, stop it. Stop being miserable and stop realizing I've given you exactly what you need to be happy, to be full, to be full of joy, full of peace, full of the richness of life, if you would simply see it and live that out which I've given you. You won't have time to wish for other property or someone else's lot in life. When you, by His Spirit, drive out the enemy from where you are presently, you won't ask for something else. You'll say, hey, this is pretty nice property. That's a pretty nice portion. Yeah, it is. Looks a lot different without trees on it. Looks a lot different without the enemy camping out there, doesn't it? Yeah, this is pretty sweet. Absolutely. You quit asking for theirs because you'll realize yours is just right for you. And that's contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The trees have to go, though. The enemy's got to go. And here's the thing, too. I'm just going to ask you today to pray for the Lord to increase your capacity right now, right here, right where you're at. Not to change your portion, not to move you to another place, not to change the situation, not to give you a new wife, a new husband, not to change that thing that's bugging you or causing you to think that your life stinks and that's the reason right there. I can pinpoint it right there. There he is. But ask the Lord to increase the capacity you have presently with the lot you've been given. Not asking for another portion, another lot in life. Because you can't move on. The Lord won't let you, oftentimes. He won't let you move on until you've dealt with what you have. And Joshua said, it's not you that you couldn't have another portion. You want another one? You got one. But he says, you can have another one. Jesus said the same thing. He says, if you're faithful with a few things, I'll give you many things. But again, if I do nothing with what I have, why would I expect God to give me something else to do nothing with? It's not going to happen. And some people spend the rest of their lives being discontent with what they have because they think they bought into the lie that it wasn't right. It wasn't what they were supposed to have. If you want more of the Lord, do what He says here and now. Right? You know why? Because if you don't do what He says here and now, you won't do what He says there and then. Where and when? Wherever. Whenever. In other words, you say, give me a different place. Give me a different situation. And the Lord might say, well, how about How about right now? You could be happy now. No, I can't. Well, then you won't be happy then. I know this isn't what you want to hear. But if you can't be happy, content, full of joy, peace, rest, goodness, grace, abounding in your life right this minute, today, where you're at, the position you're in, the condition you're in, the marriage you're in, whatever it might be, if you cannot be content and happy, full of joy today, right now, you won't be tomorrow. If things change, so to speak, if you move to a different country or a different state, I'm getting out of here. Problem is, of course, as you know, no matter where you go, there you are. It's the big issue of life. I'm running over here. You come to realize you came with you. Uh-oh, now what? You see. Because you couldn't be happy here, you can't be happy there. You see, the real issue is you're trying to leave you behind. Because deep down you understand the problem with your lot in life is you. And that's what Joshua's saying. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I don't want to see how grown over the trees are and how the enemy's here and there. I want to see you, Lord, and give me the capacity for more of you. And I'll guarantee, if you ask for that today, right now, today, in this place, right now, tomorrow, your capacity will be bigger. If you complain and try and figure out a way to get out of this thing that you're in, get out of this life you have, then tomorrow you'll be in the same place, trying to figure it out. And you know what? The answer's right there, right here. You'll obey and respond to his word now, you see. And the capacity for your enjoying of this life that you have will grow. You'll realize that you've got it all. I need to ask this, and this, again, I'm done just about, but the home you have, is it better because you're in it? Is it an awesome place to be because you're there? Or is it an upsetting place? Is it a tense place? Your workplace, is it abrasive and harsh because you're there? Or is it sweet and loving? Are the conversations, are they edifying and encouraging? Or are they destructive and gossiping? You see, you have an opportunity in your home, in your job, in your family, with your friends, to say, you're my lot. You're my lot. This is my lot. My house is my lot in life. My kids or my wife. Everything I have right now is my lot in life. Oh, Lord, let me enjoy my lot. Instead of saying, get rid of them. Get rid of this lot. Your home can be, guys, listen, your home can be the most blessed place. Your kids, your wife, your relationships, your friendships can be just really rich and sweet. You don't need new friends. You need less trees. You don't need a new life, you need the enemy to be driven out of this one. And you'll find, as Joshua was explaining to them, you've got the power to do it. You're a powerful people because you're God's people. He's given you the power to overcome. Even if the lot you have seems real miserable, it's yours. And it can be the most blessed. Depends on whether or not you have the capacity to live that out or whether you just decide that you want a different one. The problem is, and I hate to say this, you can't have another one. You can't have another life. But I want one. Can't have it. This is the one you got. And I hate to say this too because it's even worse. This life is perfect for you. Start living today. God's given you everything you need to be happy, full, rich, enjoying life to the fullest right now. If you can't right now, it's not because he hasn't given you enough. It's because you can't see it. You refuse to see it. The reason you won't cut down trees and the enemy has a foothold somewhere. And this is a quick check for me. Am I enjoying my life, Lord? Let me think about it. No, I'm not. Why? Got trees. Enemy's got a foothold somewhere. Okay, get my axe out. By the power of the Spirit, Lord, I'm going to cut it down. I'm going to drive him out, and I'm going to enjoy what you've given me. I'm going to be able to see what you've given me. It's huge. It's awesome. This lot that you've given me is more than I could ever ask for or imagine. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see the truth of that. You're most blessed. Wouldn't it be awesome? Because you've heard me say this. I'm the most blessed person, you know, on earth. And I know sometimes you say, you don't believe that. Yes, I do. I'm the most blessed person on the planet. Now, what I would love to see happening is arguments over that issue. I'd love for people to be saying, I'm the most blessed person. No, you're not. I'm the most blessed person. And then across the room, me, I'm the most blessed person on the planet. Rather than hearing, this life is terrible. I got the wrong life. I got the wrong lot in life. Man, is this rotten. Wouldn't it be great if all we argued about was who was the most blessed and who was enjoying the lot they have in life the most? One day, listen, one day when you see your Lord and he smiles at you and says, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. It's going to hit you. It's going to hit me. Oh my God, you gave me everything I needed, and all I did was complain that you didn't do enough. When you see him, you see his hands, you see his feet, you see the scars, you see him as the lamb that was slain, you're going to realize he gave me everything. And I didn't think I had anything. God, forgive me. And you know, I've reached this point from time to time with my walk with the Lord, and it's always a heartbreaker. But you know, if he never does another thing for me for the rest of my life, he's already done more than I could have ever hoped for or asked him for. He's given me salvation. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live eternally in the most amazing, beautiful, wondrous place with the most amazing God. And he doesn't have to do another thing for me on this earth. But you know what? He will. Because he loves to bless and he's gracious. And even when we complain and murmur, he still pours out blessing. Even when we say this isn't the right life or the lot in life isn't good enough, even when we poor mouth him in that way, he still blesses us. But guys, don't mistake this. He's done enough. And if you're not happy and you're not content with that, you got trees. And the enemy's getting his way with you. And you need to look to your Lord and Savior and say, you've done it all. And you've given me the power and the ability to live this life to the fullest and enjoy what I've got. And it doesn't matter what it is. You've given me that and I will rejoice in it. This is the day that the Lord has made and I will rejoice in it. This is the life the Lord has given me and I will rejoice in it. This is it for me. This is what I get and it's awesome. Even if I don't see it, it's awesome. Even if I don't get it, it's awesome. Even though I don't have that comprehension because I can't see the forest for the trees, he's still God and he's given me everything I could possibly ever hope for and everything I need to enjoy this life completely. And I will determine that I will never poor mouth my God in that way to say he hasn't done enough. That he hasn't given me a good enough lot in life. God help us when we do that. He's awesome. He's a great God. And heaven will tell, you see, you're most blessed. You have everything to be thankful for. And nothing to complain about. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the portion you gave me. Thank you, Father, for the lot in life that you've given me. I thank you for my wife, for my children, for my church, for my friends, for my grandkids, for the air I breathe and for the food I eat. You've given me a good lot, a good portion. And I want to spend the rest of my life, the rest of my days, just giving you praise and thanks for what you've done. You've given me your own son for salvation, and I want to spend the days I have remaining on this earth praising his name, giving glory to the God of all creation who's done more for me than I could ever possibly imagine and will never be able to give thanks enough for the portion that I have. May we see, Lord, with eyes of faith what you've given to us. And if you say, my life is awesome, my wife is beautiful, my family is going to make it, and there's awesome things ahead, then I will believe it. And I will walk in it by faith and love this portion that you gave me. Thanks for giving, Lord, me life in the first place. Thanks for building, Lord, a firm foundation for me to live in and live upon. Thanks for the rock of our salvation. We commit this to you, Lord. We thank you for it. Thanks for your word, for the truth of it. In Jesus' name, amen.